NST, Towson Baltimore, and BaltimorePositive.com. Still broadcasting in high-quality mono sound at AM 1570 at WNSD. It is Pittsburgh week around here, which means two Maryland Crab Cake Tours. We'll be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday at Lexington Market at Fadley's in the morning with my dear friend Dan Rodericks. We're going to have Maryland scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery, Raven scratch-offs to give away on Friday morning as well. We'll be talking to Roz Lane from the Lottery, as well as shipping crab cakes all over the country, even up to Pittsburgh from our friends at Fadley's. We'll be at Costas next Thursday doing the 31st anniversary of this year radio program next Tuesday. On Thursday from 2 until 5, we will have Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Gina Shock from the Go-Go's, from Dundalk, hon. We'll be down at Costas with a whole bunch of rock and rollers and Hammerjacks folks. I am a part of the Hammerjacks documentary from my long hair days of the 1980s. This guy, he did some quarterbacking in Detroit and other places, and up in the Berg at the end, even beat our Ravens back in the day as the second string quarterback, the understudy, which maybe that makes my man Snoop a little dangerous here this week. Charlie Batch joins us from the Berg. I'm sure it's the holiday season. He's probably dressed as Santa Claus. I'm shocked that you're not already. Where's your Santa hat, Charlie?
It's at the office right now. So it's exciting times for our foundation, which is the Best of the Batch Foundation. During the holiday times, we adopt families, and this year is 250 families that we are adopting. So our goal is to collect over 8,000 toys, and if we can do that, that would be well over 700 kids that we will be able to help put smiles on these kids' faces during the holiday time. So we're just trying to do our small part, and as we continue to collect, anybody who wants to be a part of it, they can go to batchfoundation.org. You see all of our drop-off locations if you're in the city around the Pittsburgh area, but if you're not, there are click-and-ship opportunities that you could be a part of that will ship directly to our foundation offices. So I just thank everybody in advance and anybody who is a part of it as moving forward. I just wanted to truly say thank you.
Well, I don't want to short shrift your foundation and certainly your sister and your life and the things that you've done. But what's your favorite part? Do you dress up as Santa? Do you do the shopping spree? Like, what? Give me what you're looking forward to here, because you put a lot of effort into this. Everybody that gives, and we have incredible, you know, former athletes in our city. I mean, Torrey Smith's always doing stuff. Aaron Maiden always doing stuff here. But I mean, you're that special guy in Pittsburgh. What's your favorite part of it?
Well, I'm more of Santa's helper. So I'm one of his elves. And ultimately, as we go through, we partner with 26 different companies throughout the Pittsburgh area, and they actually have team building activities. So they come over and they select us a part of wrapping party. So it's one thing to collect the toys unwrapped, but you need help wrapping them. And throughout the next couple of weeks, we will have close to 1,000 volunteers that will actually be coming through our foundation offices that will help wrap. And man, it's just truly humbling, because people who have multiple opportunities to select the other organization, but when they choose you, that's truly humbling. And it's true, we're just truly grateful for everybody who believes in the mission and the vision of what we're trying to accomplish at the Best of the Batch Foundation.
All right. Well, I don't know if it's going to be happy Steelers fans or sad Steelers fans. Not often that I get together with you in December and the Steelers are underwater and not making the playoffs, or probably not making the playoffs, and rebuilding this quarterback position. I know you know a lot about this. We have our own situation here. Tell us what's going on up there, because obviously the Trubisky thing, I was in Latrobe. You'll laugh at this because you were a quarterback. I was in Latrobe like August 7th. I was doing the Crab Cake Tour out in Western Maryland. We're at Deep Creek Lake, and I had never been to Latrobe. Mike was up there coaching. It was a muddy day. We drove our 50 miles up. Beautiful part of, you know, that part of Pennsylvania and those rolling hills up there. And we got up. There was nobody there because they moved practice to the morning. And I'm on the sidelines with the media members, and I'm out there with Kabali and, you know, all the other guys, Fitz and the guys that cover the team. And they're all arguing amongst each other because the Steelers are on 7-on-7, and somebody threw an interception. They're like, I'm counting that as an official interception. I'm thinking, man, it's early August. You guys are fighting about quarterback interceptions on 7-on-7 as to who's going to play. And here we are. I mean, you haven't had that since you were quarterback. I mean, Ben was the guy, was always the guy. It really changes things when you have a quarterback debate in your community.
Yeah, you do. And it's just funny when you mention Kabali, and he's up there, and he's one of the hardest workers that I've known. And ultimately, I remember back in 2010, and this was obviously, we were going through some unsettled times up here because we didn't know who was going to be starting quarterback, and we knew Ben was going to be out. And Kaboli's up there every practice. He's jotting down everything. And it was almost like, man, he's getting, you know, 90% of the reps, and Charlie's getting zero, 90%. And literally the whole camp, he goes through zero. And all of a sudden, Byron Leftwich gets hurt, And then here I am starting. And I said, Caboli, all that time that you wasted up in Latrobe putting all these stats together, it went all for naught, because here I am starting with less reps up there in Latrobe. So it was a funny story that we had. But those things over the years, that tends to happen. But again, to your point, this was an example of what was going on, and everybody was charting who was getting the number one reps. What was Kenny Pickett doing? And the majority of training camp, Mitch Trubisky was taking the starter reps, and Kenny Pickett didn't get elevated until after that second preseason game against the Jaguars, where he really lit it up in that preseason game. He ultimately elevated Mason Rudolph in that particular nature. But again, he wasn't taking starter reps. Those starter reps did not come until Mitch Trubisky was benched halftime of the Jets game. And then Kenny came in, gave a spark, but ultimately they didn't win that game. But at that moment on, he was the starter. And that's one of the things that you're starting to see. Got off to a rough start, but here he is now, not turning the football over. The last four games, they won two in a row, and people are excited here in Pittsburgh.
Well, getting excited about him, I mean, he was in the building before he was in the building, right, over at Pitt. You've seen him play. The organization really went in on him in a way that maybe others wouldn't have, because they felt like they knew him better. What are we going to see? And long-term, are we going to be 2 years from now talking about him still being the starting quarterback? Have you seen those sort of signs of life from him?
Oh, yeah, for sure. 4 years, you know, from now, you'll still be hearing from this. And hopefully whatever this rivalry continues to look like, Kenny Pickett will be at the helm, at least for the Steelers. We already know who's going to be on your end, obviously injury aside, with Lamar Jackson down there. But these are something that, of course, when you get to these particular rivalries, but where Kenny Pickett is at, you know, I'm sure the Ravens would love to see him probably 4 weeks ago as he was going through some of these growing pains. Right now, you can see over the last couple of games that it looks like the game is starting to slow down. And as you go, you see that he's methodically going through his reads, knowing when to run. That's a weapon that he's able to use to his advantage. Of course, Ravens practice against that all the time, so they'll be ready for it. But it gets to the point when McKinney Young, he's not making the same mistakes twice. And that's why it's going to be key for the Steelers on Sunday to win on first down, because if you get in the third down situation against that Ravens defense, you are in trouble, because that's where you start to see those exotic coverages, those exotic blitzes, and that's when they become really, really dangerous.
Charlie, one of the reasons I wasn't as gung-ho on drafting Lamar Jackson is that he runs into linebackers. And I've said that from the beginning. I saw that in the first Hall of Fame game out in Canton, Ohio, when he took the you know, he runs into players. And that's so not what we wanted to see from Charlie or Ben or any Flacco. Less contact is better. He seeks contact in some circumstances. This is kind of the third year that we've gotten dog day-ish now. After Thanksgiving, you know, the turkey's put away, pumpkin pie's put away, that he's not healthy. And last year was completely unavailable. This week, now not available. 2 years ago, even during the plague, he really struggled in October, November. He didn't run the ball as much because he was not healthy and didn't want to run the ball as much. And I'm wondering what kind of quarterback he's going to be when he can't run or won't run. And as he gets older, and where the Ravens are in regard to negotiating with him, in regard to him not having an agent. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here, but availability is everything. And if he can't play the next couple of weeks and they don't make the playoffs because of that, or if he can play and he's not healthy, I need a healthy version of my quarterback in December. I'm not ever convinced there's going to be a healthy version of Lamar Jackson in December. And how do you say, well, no football player's healthy? But he's not as healthy as Joe Burrow right now, or 10 of the other quarterbacks I see standing back in pockets right now, not trying to run the ball 12, 14, 16, 20 times a game.
And I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, availability, you have to be available in December, knowing when you're getting ready to have to start playing your best ball as you approach playoff season in January. And this is things that people are going to continue to question. And ultimately, we have a saying around in Pittsburgh is that we rather say woe than sick them. You know, I like the aggressiveness that Lamar Jackson is bringing to the table, because you know the passion that he brings to it. But again, at what point does his body start to break down? And you just mentioned last 3 years, not available in December. And when you start to look at running quarterbacks over the years, at what point their body started to break down. I don't care if you're talking about Michael Vick, you know, years ago. I don't care if you're talking about Cam Newton. These are situations that their body, as great as they are, their body event, you know, those hits will eventually catch up to him. And now if he's doing that and sliding, that's one thing. But to your point, he's running in the linebackers, he's playing football, diving forward, allowing those cheap shots. And he's going to have to get to a point where he's going to now look at the film and say, man, this hit here, this hit here, I could avoid it, and those add up. And at the end of the season, that could be 50 to 60 hits that he didn't have to take on his body.
But in the game, he's not trying to avoid hits. He doesn't think that way. None of you do, really, right?
No, not at all. And you're not thinking about that. And that's the thing. That's why I'm saying he has to go back, and coaches are going to have to remind him to say, hey, avoid those hits, run out of bounds, slap. But, you know, in our nature, like, you don't want to be known as soft. You know, when those opposing teams are watching, you want to say, man, this guy is going to run forward and he's going to gain every yard possible. So it's an ebb and flow that happens that ultimately he's going to have to determine how he's going to move forward. If not, there's going to be questions of whether or not he's going to be available second half of the year. Nobody's questioning how great he is. It's just a matter of, are you going to be available when the team needs you the most?
You know, as much as Peyton Manning beat us, I was never a hater of his, right? I mean, you can't hate Peyton. You love his commercials. But at the end of his career, he did this baby cradle thing for a couple of years, especially in Denver, where he would just turtle, literally just fetal position and turtle up. And it looked like the most ninny thing ever. And then he's winning Super Bowls. And he kept his shoulder together because he literally would give himself up in a way that I don't remember ever seeing a football player give himself up. It's just not part of, like, the nature of being a football player. But Peyton did that maybe more and better than anyone to preserve himself in his late 30s and gave himself a chance to go out on an orange horse.
Yeah, and when you're not a running quarterback, you can do that. The defenses know when we get close to you, you're going to now fall down in that situation that, you know, he's not going to now be aggressive and try to fight through it. But when you're facing a running quarterback, that's what makes it tough on a defense. And I feel sorry for defenders now, because I don't know how they hit not just quarterback, but how do you hit a receiver coming across the middle anymore, because they're now defenseless. So these are things that the defenses has to know. And that was even last year. If you go back and remember Kenny Pickett, when he was at Pitt, he did the fake slide. The defender slowed up, and then he ran for a touchdown. And I said, that right there, I didn't agree with it, because I was like, I put myself into a defender situation. We're telling you can't hit the quarterback, but yet if he starts to attempt the slide, you fall back. And now he continues to run and makes defenders look bad. And that rule was immediately changed. And that's something that really, from a defender standpoint, that makes it very tough to defend running quarterbacks in the NFL, because you don't know at what point they're attempting to slide. If they start to slide, or maybe you start to lunge at them to make the tackle, it's a penalty. So it's very tough to get in those situations. But to your point, quarterbacks have to protect themselves, and the rules are made to do so.
Kelly Batch is our guest in the Batch Foundation. It's the holidays. Anytime we have Pittsburgh Week around here, we don't look forward to Pittsburgh Week, but we always look forward to talking to Charlie Batch as well. Give me a little update on the Steelers as a whole. I think the Ravens are in a tough spot this week, going on the road and having to try to go up there and win with a backup quarterback. We're going to see your team. But Freiermuth, the running back, I mean, you have pieces there. Obviously, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and there are pieces there. And it might not be Cam Hayward later on, TJ Watt coming back in. Where are the prime pieces? Because the Steelers aren't going to get a lottery pick. Like, they're going to be good enough to pick 12th, 14th, 16th, 18th. The improvement of the franchise comes through the draft. But what's the current situation with the Steelers as far as their roster?
Yeah, 4 weeks ago, they were talking about being in the top five. And now here you are now with life, because you now are in the hunt. When they played before that Monday night game against the Colts, they weren't even in the hunt. But all of a sudden, they beat the Colts. And then you beat the Falcons, and now their name is starting to pop up. And when you look at it, it's like, yeah, seven losses, but you have three losses that you have. Say, man, there's an outside chance that you may have a chance for a division. Now, a lot of things have to happen. But with those losses against the Jets, those losses against the Dolphins, quite frankly, puts the Steelers out of play of wild card consideration. So for them, they still think that they have a chance at winning the division, only because they split with the Bengals. You have the Ravens twice now in a very favorable schedule as they now closed out the season. What you're seeing defensively, veteran side, that's where the experience is at. And offensively, they're all trying to learn together because they're young. You don't have that leader on the offensive side. Yes, Najee Harris was appointed that, but he's not the vocal leader. You need that from your quarterback to be able to now take that responsibility on. Kenny Pickett is growing in that element. They're getting better in the running game. He's been a little bit more patient in the passing game, and he's not turning the football over. And when you have that, people now start to get excited about potential. Yes, you had lesser teams, but now all of these questions will be answered this week, because everybody expects a tough Ravens team to come in. You know what you're getting from them. And if they have any hope of sniffing the playoffs, they have to win this game.
Charlie Batch joining us from the Berg during the holidays here. And, you know, as far as the league goes, and I've never seen the conferences so sort of out of whack. Like, the AFC has a bunch of good teams. I'm wondering where those teams are. People are never going to believe in the Vikings, I guess, Kirk Cousins. And the Eagles kind of coming from nowhere. But this AFC race, I mean, you see Buffalo, you see Cincinnati, you see Kansas City. These are as good of teams as we've had in the league in the last 10 years, in my opinion. They just feel very, very formidable. And if you're going to get through the AFC and you're going to beat two or three of these teams in January, you're going to be the king of the mountain in the AFC, because these are all really good teams in a unique way.
Yeah, they are. And I like to see new teams that are out there. You know, Bills for the last couple of years, you know, they are what they are, and they're getting excited because everybody's excited about Josh Allen. But not many people thought that the Dolphins was going to be, you know, where they are in this particular piece. They beat the Bills earlier in this year. But as they now start to play good ball, they lost to the 49ers last week. But either way, they're in contention. And when you look at just the top three teams that you're talking about in the AFC, you're talking about the Dolphins, Bills, and Chiefs. And Ravens are kind of sniffing around, only because now they're going to be questioned because Lamar Jackson is out. So these are questions that are all going to be answered here as people start to separate themselves in the month of December. It's just unfortunate that we're in new territory around here, because nobody's talking about the Steelers. And that's something that is really uncommon around here, because we're typically at the top of those conversations, and that's scratching and clawing to get into the wild card hunt. So these are this new times up here in Pittsburgh.
I was asking folks, you know, Steelers at underwater. Yeah, this has been a tough year, right? But they don't have much of how are they hanging in Pittsburgh on a year with I don't know, rebuilding? I don't even know what to call it, but spoiled fan bases, right? I had Mike Flynn on the other day. He's up in Boston, former Ravens center. He's like, these people are handling it real well up here after winning. And Pittsburgh, this is one of those years that you don't have very often, a bad football year.
Yeah, you don't. And, you know, to your point, it's spoiled. And the fans are, because for so many years, you expect to win a division. You expect to be in the playoffs. You hopefully have the AFC Championship game at home and playing in the Super Bowl in February. These things are – that's been the fan base. And when that doesn't happen, it's new to everybody. And if, like I mentioned, 4 weeks ago, people were talking about, okay, this is rebuilding. Let's go ahead and lose out and we get a top pick. And you've added Chicago's top pick with the trade of Chase Claypool in the second round. Man, you have some pretty good picks in the top two rounds. But now things have changed, and now people are getting excited about possibly that way. But yet, if Kenny Pickett continues to have success, and if this team wins, all the cries that were talked about a month ago as it relates to what they do with offensive coordinator Matt Canada, if Kenny has success, that means it strengthens the position for Matt Canada to be around here in 2023. So it's a lot of different conversations that are going on as it relates to where this fan base would like it to be. But either way, it's just different times for this Steelers fan base.
You mentioned Claypool and the wide receiver position. Going back to Antonio Brown, before that, Mike Wallace. They always get wide receivers there, right? I mean, it doesn't even matter who the quarterback is. They have a system and a way of drafting to a star is born in the wide receiver position, right? Last couple
you
weeks.
Do. Yeah, you do. I mean, Deontay Johnson, he is the number one receiver on here, but really – creeping right up fast behind him is George Pickens. This guy is unbelievable. He's a great talent, great person to be around. And if he did not get hurt at the University of Georgia, he would not be on this Steelers roster because he would be a number one pick. But the Steelers are fortunate enough to get him. They see him. They're trying to expedite that learning curve for him. And it started to trend in that direction. And then last week, didn't get the ball in the manner that he would hope, because it was, quite frankly, a homecoming for him as he was in front of the Georgia fans again, and he only had one catch for 2 yards. So these are things that you know he's going to be fired up against, because this is a series that Mike Tomlin is going to talk about, Harbaugh is going to talk about, because when you see highlights, the Steelers and Ravens are always part of those highlights. And what better way for young guys to start showing what they're made of in games of this magnitude?
You know, when the schedule came out, we thought, we got these soft AFC East teams, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Patriots. We'll just blow through them in September. And then, you know, Steelers stink, and the Browns, their quarterback's going to be – Now we play 4 out of 5 in division here at the end, maybe without the starting quarterback. Man, the schedule makers put this thing together, and the division is going to be decided by the division, which is really how it should be.
Absolutely, and this is exactly what the schedule makers were hoping for in this manner. But you put the Ravens and Steelers twice in December and the beginning of January. So these are things that everybody is expecting, and the people who are benefiting from this right now is is the Bengals that are sitting back saying, okay, we did our part because we played the Steelers early. If the Steelers could somehow knock the Ravens off for us, man, we would be sitting pretty on top of the AFC North. But you never know what's going to happen. That's why these games are played. And when you get rivalries like this, you just never know what things are made of, because you never know which new star is going to step up and shine bright.
You're not giving the Bengals any credit, are you, Charlie? I mean, like, you didn't even
put I am giving them credit, but I'm not, only because the Steelers played them in week one and they just played them about a month ago. So I say that because that part of the schedule is over with. So that's why I say the Bengals are sitting back saying, yeah, we're AFC division champs. Yeah, y'all go out there and now knock everybody off as they're sitting there, what's four losses. I think they're 7-4, 8-4, whatever that record is. But it gets to the point that they get a chance to now let everybody else fight like dogs while they get it, while they observe and watch everybody else.
They're playing their best football right now. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yes.
Charlie Heavy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's where ultimately Steelers and Ravens knock each other off. Bengals are sitting there saying we're AFC North Division champs.
Just don't lose to the Browns. We play the Browns next week. Charlie Patch is here from the great city of Pittsburgh. With the ins and outs up there doing the foundation. One more plug for your foundation. Let everybody know how they can help out and get some family some toys for Christmas. And the wrapping thing's amazing. Like, that's something that it'd be fun to volunteer a couple hours to go wrap toys for kids. That'd be awesome.
We appreciate it. We're Best of the Bash Foundation. We're an educational foundation, and we serve 3,800 kids annually throughout 9 counties throughout southwestern Pennsylvania. We now are 23 years old, and we just went from 5,300 square feet to 33,000 square feet as we opened up our new clubhouse expansion. That opened up in June, so that will take our numbers.
What are you doing with all that? That's a big space.
Yeah, it is a big space. So we have our STEAM lab. We focus on reading, computer literacy. So these are things that the students are coming in. And now with the new school year, this will take our numbers close to 6,000 kids annually. So as we continue to learn and get through this school year, we're excited but yet nervous at the same time, because we're like, are we ready for this? Well, we built the building, so we better be ready for this. So as we kind of go through in different programs that we have during the holiday time, we have our wrapping party and our holiday drive, but we have a wrapping party because as we collect toys unwrapped, we need help wrapping them. So we have over 1,000 volunteers who are part of it. Over 26 companies that are a part of it that will be with us as well. And as we go through over the next couple of weeks, we actually collect, we wrap, and we deliver on Christmas Eve. This year we'll go 22nd, 23rd, because the Steelers play the Raiders on Christmas Eve night. So I have to finish up a little earlier. But again, to that point, we're adopting 250 families this holiday season. And our goal is to collect over 8,000 toys, and that will help impact over 700 kids. And we're just trying to do our smile, put kids smiles on kids' faces this holiday season. So if you go to batchfoundation.org, you can see drop-off locations around the city of Pittsburgh. But if you're not in this area and want to help, you can go to Batch Foundation, and there's click and ship opportunities that you can actually help, and they will ship directly to our foundation office. So I just want to just thank everybody who have already donated. If you're considering or be a part of it, man, I just want to thank you in advance, and really just truly humbled by everybody who believes in what we're doing at the Best of the Batch Foundation.
I can't believe they make you an elf instead of a Santa. You look more like a Santa than an elf to me, Charlie. Take care of yourself. It's always good to visit, and I hope to say hello in Pittsburgh as well sometime very, very soon. And two games in the next 3-4 weeks here. It's, getting down to the nitty gritty. It's playoff time. Enjoy your eggnog, my friend. All right.
I appreciate it. Happy holidays to you.
Charlie Batch, number 16, joining us here. Number one in the program, though. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. They don't have any crab cakes up in Pittsburgh, so if yins want those, you got to ship them from any of our great sponsors, including Fadley's on Friday. It'll be Costas next Thursday. It is the crab cake shipping season for all things Maryland. It's all brought to you by our friends at Goodwill, where we fed over 2,000 folks on the day before Thanksgiving with Lisa Rusiniak and our friends at Goodwill, and helping folks with some job opportunities and some other wraparound services down in the city before Thanksgiving. And our friends at Window Nation as well. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing. And that means a lot right now to keep you warm and cut down on your holiday bills as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. It's Pittsburgh week. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.